Stephen Curtis Chapman, holy, 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 WWIB, God in three persons. I like the emphasis of that in that song. You don't get it in a lot of tunes, Jason Kanz, but it's in that one, right?
Well, good. That's an old song, too.
Mm-hmm. And you'd ask me over the weekend, welcome to the best 5 minutes of the day, you'd ask me through a text, you're like, yeah, you'd ask me what my favorite Stephen Curtis Chapman song is, and I named seven.
Right.
So,
yeah, you named an album, basically.
Yeah, he did the concert in Eau Claire and then went to Milwaukee and then up to Brainerd and wrapped it up four concerts in 4 days in Rochester. Busy life when you're a, you know, musical artist, right?
I apparently, yeah. I think that he still has the energy to make it go and find his way around to sing his music. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's great.
Well, it is a Make Us Laugh Monday, and I do have a joke, but I'm trying to think if I, you know, I got, Caleb and I need three apiece at 7:45, so maybe I'll just save mine, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't bring anything to the game.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well,
yeah,
Make Us Laugh Monday.
I thought maybe just people listening to me would make them laugh, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really tempted to drop one of them, one silly joke on you. Why don't they play cards in the jungle?
Why?
There's too many cheetahs. Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah, okay.
Cheetahs never prosper.
I just couldn't hold it back. All right, well, we also talk about Mental Health Monday, and so this is what I had in mind today, although you and Ed had quite a discussion that I contemplated diving into at our breakfast on Saturday at Randy's, but I just kind of sat there. I was a spectator for a while.
I was waiting for you to jump in on that. Ed and I kept pushing him, and
yeah,
it was. I thought it was a really good discussion for us to have. Mm-hmm. And
addiction and I don't know, sort of in terms of disease and personal responsibility, the other side of the coin,
right.
I guess.
So. Yes, exactly. Yeah, and I think that was the thing, is that balance of disease and responsibility.
Well, as long as we've gone that far, maybe I'll save my other topic for next week, because I guess what I was going to say, the best way I've heard that explained, because that's kind of confusing me, disease, I think, a lot of times it seems like people in the Christian community get uncomfortable with that, because a lot of folks, and when you say the Christian community, it's a wide spectrum, but some,
right,
particularly on the conservative side, feel like, well, you're saying there's no personal responsibility. But then, truthfully, if you get into recovery groups, they talk about, you know, character defects, and so...
Sure.
The best explanation I heard was kind of like diabetes. Like, it can be something that besets you, but your own choices can influence it or further invite it.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think we do disservice when we try to simplify things down to a single explanation like that. You know, life is more complex than that. And, you know, I think we know, whether it's diabetes or addiction, that there are definitely biological pieces in place, but there's also choices that we make, and sometimes the disease process makes making those choices harder, but it's still an important role.
It's interesting you say that. It's the Sunday small group on Dan White's book Love Over Fear yesterday, and chapter 3 on polarization, and about very much us against them, and how people either attack or avoid people they perceive on the other side, and how he offers ultimately a third way, which is affection for those you disagree with. And I think that's the Jesus way, you know?
Right. I agree. Yeah. Although admittedly, at least for me, challenging at times
for
to
sure.
feel that level of affection.
For sure. No question. And yet I think the reason I'm linking the two is that we look for simplification anywhere we can get it in a world that's so complicated, messy, and confusing.
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Solving the world's problems 5 minutes at a time. We've got 1 Peter, I want to say 5:5, right?
5:5. Yep. That's what I've got too.
All right. What do we got today?
In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble.
All right, and in Jason's devotional commentary in the New Testament Letters to the Beloved, he tackles that one verse with a paragraph longer than the verse. Be willing to look to those who are further along and whose faith has been tested. Those who have accepted the mantle of leadership have an arduous task. Trying to lead different people with various gifts and personalities would be impossible apart from my spirit. Leaders will make mistakes. All people do, but do not assume that you would do much better. Where they reflect my righteousness, do likewise. Practice humility with everyone you meet, knowing that I reward humility with grace. Good job on that paragraph.
Thank you. I'll be curious what stood out to you. I think for me, it comes back to the idea of humility, right? I mean, whether in a leadership role or in one who's following a leader.
You know, a lot of things stood up, but your empathy for the leader stood out to me there. Leaders will make mistakes. All people do, but do not assume that you would do much better. I really like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for when we've been in leadership roles, it definitely makes me realize that it's not easy to do that.
No, you got a target on your back. You got a target on your back, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you, friend.
You bet.
There we go. You know, Minnesota's to our west. We've got Illinois to the south. Don't like the tolls. There's Iowa. But what about Michigan, the other side of the lake? And, well, what about Michigan's? And one of many names we could call this regular Monday segment with Drew Fralick. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Another way I thought we could call it this year is we could call it the 60-40, because on the very same day I turned 60, you turned 40, June 12th.
I know. That's going to be... What's going to happen? Is, like, the sky going to turn purple or something? It's going to be great. I can't wait for that Monday segment, you know? That's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Well,
only a few months away.
I like your age better than mine, so...
You're doing fine, Mark. You look fantastic.
Listen, thank you. Thank
you look great.
Yeah, I did somebody... I was helping a friend move this weekend, and somebody did say he was, like, 57. He's like, you don't look 59. So I'm like, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. No, if I get to 60 and I look like you, I'll be very satisfied.
There we go.
I feel like I'm aging rapidly. So, yeah, we'll see.
So, you had a story that's led into a sermon.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, so I did a sermon yesterday. Obviously, I'm not going to do the whole sermon on air, but
no.
It was based off of the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I did a sermon yesterday called The Poor Get, which is fun. It rhymes.
Okay, no, you dropped out there. The poor get what? It dropped out.
The poor get more.
The poor get more.
The
okay.
Poor get, yeah, yeah. So the poor in spirit get more, you know. And then I had this joke. It's like, blessed are the rich in wallet, for theirs is the kingdom of tax haven. I don't know. It was really corny. But the whole thing stemmed from this conversation. I have a friend whose family member is wealthy, and so I've been having these conversations like, if you had all the money you could ever need, what, like, how would your life be different, basically?
Uh-huh.
And you know, I have this theory that if all of a sudden you didn't have to worry about money, I think you'd basically do what you do now,
yeah,
but just like a richer version of it, right?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that what most people would do?
I think so.
Like,
I mean, I like that about it. I love that line in Ecclesiastes that the best you can do is to eat and drink and enjoy your labor during the few days of life. And there's another.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, instead of going on vacation to, like, I don't know, Tokyo for the weekend or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, we just go to, like, a state park in northern Indiana or whatever. It's mm-hmm. like the same thing, but just a different. You know what I mean. Just
okay.
like a cheaper version, uh-huh. right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, second question. Okay, Mark. All right, let me hit you with the second question. Maybe this one will be better.
Okay.
So do you think that amount of money would change you? We had a very spirited conversation about this.
Do I think have it? What amount of money?
Like, if you had $10 billion, do you think you'd be, like, really changed?
Hard to know, because I've never been close to that.
Okay. I just think, you know...
I'm sorry,
what
I don't
if
mean to
all
take the air out of your balloon and rain on your parade.
I know. This is great. It's, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a killer segment. Mark's going to love this. But, no, seriously, what if you never had to do anything you never wanted to do?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that basically be what it would be like to be mega rich?
You mean never had to do anything you didn't want to do?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, that would be different. I guess that is. I mean, you see some of these mansions and some of these athletes, and I'm like, who's cleaning all that? So.
Yeah. Like, I can barely keep my tiny apartment. Yeah, I can barely keep my tiny apartment clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well.
Hey, listen, folks, next week's segment is going to be fantastic. We are going to regroup.
I'm gonna tell you.
You can probably hear my daughter screaming in the background.
Okay, I'm going to leave you with a joke because you have the joke gym on Wednesday night, so you might want to use this one. Why don't they play cards in the jungle?
Why don't they play cards in the jungle?
Mm-hmm. Because there's too many cheetahs. Goodbye. There we go. The Wib Wake Up Show. Weekend recap here on the Wib Wake Up Show from Make Us Laugh Monday. My wife away in Africa, so the best cooking venture I did was Friday night. With a packet, I made cheesy broccoli soup. Michael was thumbs up on that. We put some rotisserie chicken in it, and it lasted us throughout the weekend. It was amazing how much it made. It was a big Bucks weekend for me. Enjoyed the Giannis documentary on Prime. If you haven't seen it yet, Caleb, I think you're going to like it. Love Giannis, and his story is just amazing. And then watching the Bucks win again, beating the Sixers. So two road wins, Timberwolves before that on Friday night. Helped a friend move for several hours on Saturday. Moving is work. It's one of the reasons to stay where you're at. And that's a big part of my weekend.
Well, my weekend involved a lot of basketball, but in-person viewing, broadcasting on our sister station, WOGO. So games on Friday night and Saturday night, regional, semifinal, regional, final. Playoff basketball, just a lot of fun. So many people show up to these games. So, again, just a great atmosphere. So enjoyed that. In between, had a trip down to Rochester, Minnesota for a housewarming for my little sister, Hannah, and brother-in-law, Sean, and their wonderful family. So God bless them with a new home. And so we were able to go down there and enjoy some time with them, see their home, take the tour, and just have a great time together as a family. So that road trip down there, came back and broadcast that game Saturday night. Then Sunday church and potluck, spent some time at my parents' house. And honestly, most of that time was spent napping because there was quite a bit of lost sleep over the last few days with a lot of the different responsibilities and things like that. So I enjoyed a Sunday afternoon nap and certainly felt a lot more refreshed afterward.
From basketball to a trip to and from Rochester and more basketball, I can understand the napping.
Yeah, yeah.
WWIB, the Wib Wake Up Show. I've been calling this three jokes a piece. It truly is one of the tougher assignments Caleb and I have every week.
And we give it to ourselves each and every Monday, bright and early.
So I hope you appreciate it. Here we go. Caleb, what's the difference between Dubai and Abu Dhabi?
I am not sure.
People from Dubai don't like the Flintstones, but people from Abu Dhabi do.
That's not an easy delivery on that one. So, yeah, well done. Well, just some observations. We are in an election year. So some observations on the world of politics for me today. Instead of giving a politician the keys to the city, it might be better to change the locks.
Yeah. There we go. Caleb, I bought my friend an elephant for his room. He said, thanks. I said, don't mention it.
I think you are two for two
today.
Thank you. That's great. This one comes from a man named Henry Kate. He says, the problem with political jokes is they get elected.
Yeah. Oh, my. Too much truth in that. All right, my last one. See if we can make it three for three. I can promise you this. One thing you won't ever hear me do is sausage jokes. I mean, brat jokes are the worst.
Oh, man, I liked it.
Hats off to Brent Haefley from church who did that one yesterday.
Well, the final political observation this morning for me on a Make Us Laugh Monday, this is from Aesop, you know, Aesop's fables and stuff.
Yeah.
And he said this one time, we hang the petty thieves and appoint the great ones to public office.
Ooh.
A lot of truth from that guy. All right, those are your Monday morning jokes.
Jokes and philosophy this morning.
Indeed.
WWIB, the Wib Wake Up Show. Are you late for work? A recent survey found that 20% of workers said they arrive late to work at least once a week.
Now, it is an accepted excuse with HR managers everywhere if you are late to work because you have to hear something the Wib Wake Up Show is doing. I'm pretty sure we
I'm glad
have that
to know
legally
that.
Binding agreement for you somewhere.
I'm going to just compliment you're really good at being on time. There's kind of at 7:02 and a half, Caleb is supposed to be here to read the close to the network news, and he is really good in rain or shine. I'll tell you what.
Right, sometimes it's really close to that, but especially if I forget to defrost the car.
Yeah, there you go. But here are some kind of funny, outrageous excuses that have been offered for being late. Like somebody said, my husband thinks it's funny to hide my key fob before he goes to work. That's why
actually,
I'm late.
That's believable, yeah. Actually. I think certain couples have that dynamic where one's like, this will be hilarious, but yeah. Maybe doesn't think that through. Real excuses for being late given
this
to
is
hiring
funny.
Managers. This person says, I walked into a spider web on the way out the door and couldn't find the spider, so I had to go inside and shower again.
Oh, that's hilarious. Here's another excuse. I got locked in my trunk by my son.
Chip off the old dad block there, I guess. One hides the key fob, the other locks in the trunk.
Yeah, right. Wow, what a family.
Real excuses for being late to work. Someone says, my left turn signal was out, so I had to make all right turns to get to work. Isn't that what UPS does?
I mean, you would actually say that. Someone else said a gurney fell out of an ambulance and delayed traffic.
That is possible. That is possible. Another person says, I was attacked by a raccoon. That's why I was late to work, but I had to stop by the hospital to make sure the raccoon wasn't rabid. I would hate to have spread that to all of you.
Oh, man. All right. Here's another one. Somebody said, I feel like I'm in everyone's way if I show up on time.
So that's why I come late every single day. Another one says, hey, my dad didn't wake me up. That's believable.
It wasn't on me. I mean, my dad.
Dad was supposed to.
And finally, I know this is going to sound believable, but a groundhog bit my bike tire and made it flat.
Groundhogs, not just for predicting weather anymore.
No. All right. Well, the Whipminster Dog Competition, the voting is underway, right, Caleb?
It is. So it just started this morning. And again, I believe everybody got an email whose dog is in the competition just as a reminder that, hey, it's time to vote, one vote per person, but you can get all your friends and family and coworkers and strangers, I guess, to vote for you. That's kind of the deal. If your dog's super cute, you've got a great story for him, man, you might get lots of folks getting behind them and helping them win.
All right, so it's time to meet the dogs. Again, you got to go to the site and look at all these dogs and read this. It's going to take some time. Probably the bulk of voters will be steered there by friends and family who've nominated dogs because there's an incredible prize package. But let's start it off. Rosie is an almost 4-year-old golden retriever.
Also, Toby, a sweet 12-year-old golden doodle, they say.
Mm. And how about Louie? He'll be 2 in April.
Maverick, another puppy, just 4 months old.
Wow, Jasper is 2 years old. He's a Spitfire.
Jake, they said, is a boxer. Their fifth boxer. He's 5 years old.
Mm. Also, there is Jughead. They call him Juggy. He's a 4-year-old Rottweiler lab mix.
He looks like a good dog. They all do.
He does.
They all do.
Yeah.
Just, I love some of the pictures that have been shared. Millie, she's a 2-year-old spunky yellow lab. They say that's full of energy.
Mm, boy, I'm looking at a St. Bernard here. Delilah's a 200-pound St. Bernard. She loves being with people.
Thanks, Olivia. This dog weighs more than I do. So that's the St. Bernards are just fantastic. Shay is an Irish setter.
Hmm. Also, you've got Rally was found in the streets of La Crosse.
Rescue, wonderful. There's Bo. Bo is adopted. He's a Doberman and a German Shepherd mix.
Huh. Mabel May is a 2.5-year-old English Springer Spaniel.
Farley, a 4-year-old Golden Doodle. Again, all of these you can vote for at WWIB.com. Whipminster 5th Annual, presented by Mark Warp Motors, and starts today, voting does.
Mika is a 2-year-old who loves giving mom and dad lots of kisses.
Looks like a German Shepherd. Love the big ears. Shelby is a sweet, sassy little Golden.
Lincoln is a very unique and intelligent dog. Nominated here.
Sunny, they say, is another adopted rescue dog, and so a very happy little puppy.
Mm-hmm. Harley was found running loose on the road, and he's one of the nominees here.
Here's Scrappy, another dog that loves to ride on the four-wheeler.
Poetry is a blue heeler. My sister, Jenny, had a blue heeler mixed with a border collie, just 2.5 months old.
Here's Millie. Millie is a therapy dog. You can vote for Millie.
Also, there is Finley, a 2-year-old Springer Doodle.
Here's another dog you can vote for. I don't know if I can pronounce this. Todoroki.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, he's the bestest boy, they say. Furlough was born on March 5th, 2020, and came home on May 2nd. So due to COVID, they named him Furlough.
Again, going through all the dogs you can vote for in Whipminster 2024, a purebred Boston Terrier who's a brindle. Her name is Rosie, 11 weeks old.
Zulu loves to play tug-of-war and fetch.
There's Sansa. Sansa's a Chow Australian Shepherd mix.
Bela is, she'll be a year old in July.
Phineas is a 95-pound St. Verdoodle.
I've never heard that before.
That is awesome.
I've never heard anybody say the word St. Verdoodle until you did.
You have now.
I have. Also, there is Let's see. This is a little bit. Bit by bit, she is 4 years old in April, a border collie.
There you go. Also, Opal, a wild 2-year-old corgi. The queen, rest in peace, would love that.
Pelly came into our life during the COVID lockdown, says the nominator here.
Looks like a Chihuahua puppy. Wesley is a 6-month-old golden retriever who's been nominated as well.
Lucky's a 9-month-old Irish doodle.
Bella is, dog, I'm trying to see the breed here, purebred Boston Terrier with a heart of gold, they say.
There's so many dogs, this reminds me of an Italian election. Luke and Rose are best buds.
Myrtle, a 5-year-old male cockapoo.
Also, you got Blue is a female yellow lab that loves agility and hunt tests.
And 2 more, Cora's a border collie, 9 years old.
And Gracie is a wonderful little dog at the bottom of the voting here.
Yes, they call her a gift from heaven. And again, great to see your passion for your pups. We love it. And now go out and recruit people to vote. And if you don't have a dog in the voting race here, we'll just pick the one that you think has the best story or is the cutest or whatever. I mean, what better way to spend your time on a Monday than going and checking out cute dogs at WWIB.com and voting for one to win our fabulous prizes. Again, thank you to our great sponsors, Westgate Animal Hospital and Northwestern Bank, and our presenting sponsor, Mark Wart Motors, your hometown Chevy dealership, Whitminster 2024. Voting underway starting this morning.